Okay, let's get rolling. As you know, we're going through the Bible around here. We go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We're in the first letter to the church at Corinth. We're in 1 Corinthians, so turn now, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, and we have arrived at chapter 3. Chapter 3. So let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" This letter has been awesome. Paul began by reminding us and speaking of and kind of grounding the thing in God's love. But he launched real quick into some very important things. And in chapter 2, we saw last time that Paul pointed out that people, all people, are in one of two different spiritual conditions. God sees people in one of two camps. Paul brought that up in the last chapter. God doesn't look upon us and divide us by our intellect, by our income levels. Nothing like that. He simply looks upon people as either those who are saved, which Paul calls the natural man. Excuse me, those who are not saved. There's those who are not saved, the natural man, the one who's not born again. Then there are those who are saved, who he calls the mature, or the phrase he uses in verse 15 of chapter 2, he calls them the spiritual. So there are two classes of people, either those who are not saved or those who are. The natural man, he calls it, or the spiritual man. Those are the two camps that God sees people in. But now as we come to chapter 3, in these verses before us this morning, Paul's going to teach us that believers, in turn, are divided into two categories. Those who are called spiritual and those that he calls carnal. And this is where the phrase "a carnal Christian" comes from. One main reason that Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth is it's a corrective letter. There were problems going on there in Corinth. Problems had crept into the fellowship. And so Paul is going to be addressing those problems in the fellowship there. And he begins by going right to the heart of the issue. He goes right to the core of why there were these problems. What's he say? He says, "You're being carnal." A carnal Christian. Again, maybe you've heard that term, maybe not. But what is it referring to? When Paul says that, who is a carnal Christian? What are the marks of one? I've called our time together this morning based on that phrase he uses in verse 1. I've called our time babes in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, before praying for this time in your word, Lord, I would just, as a fellowship, we do want to lift up those to you who've been so affected by the storms back in Texas and other areas there. Lord, we pray for the outreach there at Calvary Houston. Lord, may your word go forward. May you encourage and minister and touch. May people be drawn to you and be encouraged in you and be comforted in you. So Lord, we just don't want to give funds. We want to give prayer. We lift up prayer. So we lift up all that's going on there. May you work in and through it all. Again, encouraging those who know you, drawing others to know you who don't. Now, Lord, as we come to your word, help us, Lord. Help us not to look around, but to look to you. Help us not to just push this off, but to really hear what you would say. It's rooted in your love. There's encouragement here, but there's a great warning. So help us to hear it as just that, that we would not coast, Lord. Help us that we wouldn't just settle for less than all you have for us. So teach us, lead us, speak as only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called our time babes in Christ. Paul, up to this point, has done an awesome job explaining the gospel, the important, critical, all-important message about salvation. He's pointed out that when it comes to salvation, he says it's this basic, simple message. That's what the gospel intended to be. He's taught us that the gospel isn't about the intellect. In sharing the gospel, you're not trying to win an argument. You're not trying to win an intellectual discussion. The gospel is aimed not at the head, but at the heart. So he's told us, it's not about that. It's not going to be in the wisdom of men. It's not going to be that. Because remember, we learned, what you win someone with is what you win them to. And the wisdom of man is a sandy foundation, not worth our lives. We must be upon the rock of God, of what was done on the cross. All those key, basic, core truth about the gospel. And that way, their salvation will rest in the power of God. Again, not in man's efforts or anything. And he said he does this so that in the end, all the glory will go to God, not to man. In chapter 2, Paul went on to declare, though we don't have anything to do with man's wisdom, that God's wisdom is far above it, there is a wisdom of God, he teaches us. And last week, we looked at the fact that since there is a wisdom of God, he invites us, dive in. Remember, we talked about, don't stand on the shoreline of God and his and who he is and all we have in him. We said, dive in. We saw the invitation in chapter 2 is to dive in to all God has for us. Don't stand afar from it. Explore all about the Lord. And to what end? Why? Look at verse 12 of chapter 2 for a moment. It says, the reason that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So there's the invitation. He wants us to know all that is ours freely, freely given to us by God. But then look at the last part of chapter 2 as we're setting the table for our focus. Go to verse 14 of chapter 2. But the natural man, now the natural man here again is the unsaved man, the unregenerated man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Unless you're born again and have the Holy Spirit in you, you can't discern spiritual things. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So, Paul says there's the natural man who just can't understand the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him because he hasn't received the Holy Spirit yet. He hasn't received the Lord yet. There is the spiritual man, he points out there. Again, in verse 15, he refers to that. He was spiritual. But now, as we get to chapter 3, remember, in the original writings, there's not chapter and verse. That's for our sake. But as he continues writing, he's now quick to point something out. He's going to break down the spiritual man into two camps. Those who are saved into two different groups. Verse 1, let's look at it. And I, brethren, cannot speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Important here to notice how he begins. He calls them brethren. Why is that important? This shows us that even this discussion about there being carnal Christians, they are still believers. This is addressed to those who are indeed believers. But while they are born again, he's saying they have stayed as babes spiritually. And he uses the phrase that means they're in what he calls a carnal condition. Now again, they are believers, shown by that term brethren, and also when he calls them babes in Christ, the phrase in Christ, again, reaffirms he's speaking to these who have received Christ. They are believers. But they are carnal. They are carnal type of believer, he says. Paul's going to use that term carnal 3 times in 4 verses. It's repeated to emphasize their core problem. The word carnal means pertaining to the flesh, something that is fleshly in nature, something that they're being ruled by their natural desires still. They're still thinking like the world thinks. They're still coming at things the way the world does, the way they used to think. He says here that he's doing this as to babes in Christ. Let's look at that phrase for just a moment. What marked them, the first thing that marks them as carnal is they are babes in Christ. Now, to be a babe in Christ is not determined by one's physical age, nor is it determined by how long it's been since they've received Christ as Savior. See, it's not just talking about the days on a calendar or something here. Rather, the phrase being a babe in Christ is determined by how far the person has progressed in his or her walk since receiving Christ. How are you growing from when you first received the Lord? Is there obvious, marked growth? In general, most people would say babies are cute. You know, we love to see little babies. They're laying there in their little bassinet or whatever. And, oh, little crib. Oh, how cute. Especially grandbabies. They're the cutest. But I'll go there. I won't go there too far. But how cute little babies are. We recognize that. Even though they dribble and make messes and you ought to change them and everything else, still that's so normal as part of it. We say, oh, they're so cute. And then comes that day when they say, Dada. Did you hear that? I'm sure that he said Daddy. I know that's what he said there. Because we get excited. It's normal. But if that is where they were to stay, our joy would turn into sadness, wouldn't it? Let me pause. This isn't a statement about someone who stays in a condition that's due to a health issue. Paul's simply using what would be considered normal growth from a baby to an adult. I understand some of our health issues may not get along physically in certain ways. That's not addressing that issue. He's talking about what would be a normal case. It's normal for a baby to have a pacifier in its mouth. It's normal that babies are all about emotions and, you know, what are they about? They're all about them. Feed me, change me, walk me, stay up with me. You know, that's what babies are. He has a couple heads going up. They're all about them, and we expect that. That's the way of relating. They're all emotional and all. They're very me-centered. But that's a sign of immaturity, isn't it? Physically. It's the same thing spiritually. If that same person has a pacifier in their mouth at 20 years old, they're in diapers that somebody else has to change, it would be so very sad. Because there's supposed to be certain growth that takes place physically, and that's what it's supposed to be for us spiritually. Again, I mean, a new believer is so great to see. When it just clicks, they understand, whoa, I'm a sinner and I deserve hell, but he sent his son to die for me and he forgives me. Oh, I received that work. And, you know, a new believer is so just kind of excited to be around. They're so full of joy. They're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and they don't know yet what they don't know. I'm saying that I'm loving it. That's great. They're excited all about it. But if that person doesn't grow, if that person isn't learning and walking in the things of God, it will be sad to see them years later still in that brand new state. You're not supposed to stay as a babe physically, and you're not supposed to stay as a babe spiritually. In short, Paul's saying, time to grow up. You're supposed to grow up is the call. It's important that they and we are maturing in this whole thing. Babies can't handle meat. If you give a little baby a piece of sirloin steak, one of a couple of things is going to happen. It's either going to choke on it or it's going to wind up right back in your face. Because they can't handle it. So it is with some Christians. A mark of carnality is the fact that for some Christians, they can't handle solid food spiritually. They can't handle the meat of the word. They don't even want solid teaching. Carnal Christians don't want anything deep. They want some worship. They want a message that asks nothing of them. They want a message that requires no real searching of the heart. Just let me be about me and let it be feel-good time and let's have some really good worship and let's have a warm, fuzzy message about forgiveness for the 27th time this month, you know, and let's just stay right there. Yay! We're going to see God's got better for us than that. Babies don't go off of milk automatically. They're weaned off of milk onto food. But there should be, if there's healthiness, gradual but an increasing desire and ability to take in solid food. After a while, they start, oh, that banana's kind of nice. I want more of that. And also, they start pushing the, I don't want that, I want that. And that's healthy. I want more. So it is spiritually. there should be an increasing desire for more and more solid food. There should be an excitement to dive deeper, discover. The Word of God is given so we can know the God of the Word. And there should be a hunger for, a desire for those things if we're healthy. But the babe in Christ settles, stays right there, but misses out. And it leads to the problems he's talking about in this letter. So what, first of all, marks the life of a carnal Christian? See, you know how you can always tell a carnal Christian? We all know who a carnal Christian is. A carnal Christian is somebody who's not quite as far along as we are. Right? Yeah, they're not quite as, I understand it all. They don't quite get it. They're carnal. No. And you know what else we do sometimes? We say, oh, a carnal Christian, that's someone who's just being ravaged by drugs, totally caught up in bad things. No. He's referring here to, see, carnality is so often marked by passivity, apathy, just settling. There's no hunger, no desire for more. So let's not just say, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. Let God speak to all of us about this. So what marks the life of a carnal Christian? Look at verse 2. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. Even now, you're still not able. Paul had spent a year and a half in Corinth. He's now over in Ephesus. He hears that there's problems. So he writes back to them. But he begins right away by saying, I need you guys to know something. When I was with you, I could even take you into the deep things. I had to keep teaching you. I fed you with milk and not solid food. For even until now, you're not able to receive it. Even now, you're still not able. You couldn't take it then, you still can't take it. The first sign of carnality, as we've seen, therefore, is a lack of spiritual growth, rooted in an inability to take in the meat of God's Word. A carnal Christian feeds on the milk of the Word but cannot receive the meat. Solid food, the deeper teachings. An interesting passage that sheds some light on this is over in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's look at it up here on the screen for a moment. Hebrews 5:12. The author there declares, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. So here the same problem again. He says, you're stuck. You're stuck like being little. I can only give you milk. Next couple of verses. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice here, what marks a babe here? You're unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. A growing Christian won't know everything, but they'll know more and more from the Word. If you're growing in the Word, you should be able to begin to open your Bible and share from the Word. Oh, look, it says it addresses that thing right here in Romans or whatever it is. You should become more and more skilled in the Word of righteousness. But unfortunately, they couldn't. And for that, he's saying, because of that, you're a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. And notice the next thing he talks about. Have their senses exercised to discern. Another mark of a babe, a carnal Christian, is they lack discernment. A carnal Christian lacks discernment. See, a baby doesn't really know if that item right there is something good to put in my mouth or not. They'll just do it. It takes somebody mature to know what's healthy to put in their mouth and all. A babe doesn't have discernment. Mark of carnality is, you don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if that's from the Word of God or not. I don't know if that's good for me spiritually or not. So a mark of carnality, being a baby, is you lack discernment, another key factor. But now watch what the author of Hebrews does now after saying this, the next couple of verses. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Perfection in the Bible is a translation of a word that means let us be mature. Let's move towards completion here. You'll never be perfect in this lifetime. But let us grow up. Let us be mature. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Interesting text. Just hit on a few things here for a moment. Notice what the author here equates with milk. He says, he talks about it's time to move on from the basics. Now, he's calling the basic points of the gospel and all the rudimentary principles. Now, are they necessary? Yes. It's how we get saved. Repentance, turning from works to salvation through the work of the cross, the importance of such things. It talks about being baptized and various things. Those are all part of it. Those are foundational truths. They are the truths that we start out with. But the author points out, we're not supposed to stay just right there. It's not just a constant diet of those things that are going to help us grow. Too often you see that there are churches that week after week after week after week after week, it's just an evangelical message. People flock to that. Now, it's good to have some place you go. Okay, I know that my friend's going to hear the gospel. Let's go there. But be careful. Because he's talking about gospel messages are great. But if that's all you ever get, that's where you're going to stay at. You're going to only grow based on what you're fed. You are what you eat. And so you're going to kind of stay there. So thank God that the gospel goes forward. But it can't be just that all the time. There's supposed to be more if we're going to grow and mature. And so, what's the remedy? To go through the whole Word of God. To teach the whole counsel of God. So just that's why we do that. We go through it, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, so that we'll get the whole counsel of God. We won't camp on some little pet doctrine about baptism or something. Some little thing I want to really push. We just go through it step by step. Now, that does mean that some things won't be understood by all. Someone who is new in the Lord, there are texts that go, whoa, what's that about? But they'll grow. If you hang in there, you begin more and more, you understand, you take it in, you lead the new. Don't you love how the Lord, like the Word has layers? You ever notice that? It's like a rose or something, there's layers. A verse can speak to a brand new believer, and that same verse can speak to someone who's just really cooking in the Lord 40 years later. That same verse. Because there's like layers built like right in there, aimed at where you're at. God's big enough to do that. But we can resist getting into the shallow water by going deep, by going through the whole counsel of God. And letting the Holy Spirit apply it to our lives. So that's why last week we looked at what Paul was saying. Dive deep into God and don't settle for a distant relationship. The ability to eat solid food is the mark of a healthy person. It's the mark of a healthy believer. So we should be seeking and digesting solid teaching. The whole Word should be what we're being exposed to. So, what does this tell us now about those who are carnal? They can't handle the meat of the Word, lack of discernment, still being a baby. Let's go on to see what else it says. Verse 3, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? What's he say? Paul, you say I'm carnal. What evidence do you point to? He said, well, first of all, look at the envy that's going on in your midst, in your lives. Envy is that heart condition wherein someone thinks that the other person got the better deal. It's that condition in where you think that you should have what they have. If I had their life, my life would be better. And we find ourselves saying things like, how come I have to go through this and they don't? Why do they get that and I didn't? But see, at the root of it is this. It's not trusting that God knows what's best for you. It's not trusting that He has the best plan for me. And that though it might look like greener pastures over there, we get over there and we'll find out it's not our pastor. So there's envy. Envy is that heart condition that doesn't trust God for His plan. What's it lead to? The next step, strife. It's been said that strife is envy in action. Envy is the heart condition, greed, all that type of thing, covetousness. But it results in the action of it is strife. And then what does that lead to? Divisions. So we begin to speak out unfairness. We begin to speak out we don't like this and that. And it begins to cause divisions. The outcome of strife is division. You're stirring up discord. You're stirring up discord among the brethren. God says He hates that. So these are marks of carnality. And He says, and you're behaving just like men, mere men, New King James says. It means natural man. You're acting like the world acts when it comes to one another. You're envious of one another. You're saying these things, causing division. Because that's what the world is like. At the core of envy, at the core of so much of this, is self. Self is the primary characteristic of the flesh life, the flesh-dominated life. Therefore, jealousy, strife, is often going to result from the one who's yielding to live for self. Let me explain that phrase, self. Self, in this case, is a phrase meaning, that again, that life before God got hold of you, or even the life now that is led by the flesh, your fleshly desires. Paul talks about in another portion of Scripture how the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And that's what flesh means there. It's the self. It's the self-dominated life. Self is that part of us that thinks it knows what's best for us. But it's rooted in worldly thinking and old attitudes. Self is that part that yields to the flesh desire. And self is often the doorway the enemy uses to get in and mess us up. To rip off our peace. Now, can't steal our salvation for believers, but He tries to mess us up through self. Because self sounds like this. Self says things like, yeah, I deserve better. How come they get to do that? I'm going to, and me, you know, it's all here. That's the words that pop up. I and me, and it's pity and all those things. But when self is in the driver's seat, there's a ditch in your future. Because while self thinks it knows best, it doesn't. It yields too much to emotions in this world and all. Self does not serve us well. But we think it does. So we listen to it when we shouldn't. Instead, we're to be spirit-led people, not self-led believers. Spirit-led people. Verse 4. For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? He's continuing to point out what evidence he sees that shows they are carnal. In this case, what? You're being divided as believers. You're being divided over these kinds of things. You're putting man in the place of the Lord, so to speak. Well, I'm of this church. I'm of that church. I'm of this group. See, they were dividing into cliques and being followers of a person rather than the Lord. He says, if you're doing that, if you're more about, well, this ministry, this person, you're carnal. That's it. You're carnal. If you identify with a man or just some church rather than the Lord, then you're carnal. One commentator made the statement. He said, when Paul wrote this letter to them and said, you know, you guys, based on everything I see, you're carnal. You're still babes. And he kind of commented, I wonder how it was received. Probably not very well. Hey, I'm writing you guys to let you know you're totally in the flesh, you're selfish, you're carnal, you're babes. You can kind of see them, what are you talking about? What are you saying about us? I'm saying you need to grow up. I wonder how it was received by them. But that's not the point for us. The point for us is how will it be received today by us? Will we say, oh, again, you know, I wish so-and-so was here. He's so carnal. It's very important. Herein lies the root of the problems at Corinth. He's saying, You are carnal. You are living by the flesh, by the self. You're still like little babies. It's time to grow up. And because of that, it led to great problems amongst them. Again, self in the driver's seat is a clear indication of being carnal. Someone is quick to get angry. They're greedy, always about them. They want the first place and all. You see it evidenced in all these things. Carnality is probably one of, if not maybe the main, cause of problems within the church. Not just in Corinth, but in the church today, the body of Christ. Carnality. So let's not very quickly, again, see, we think of carnality as something so flagrant. But let me just repeat it. Carnality in this way is simply those who are kind of happy where they are. I'm saved, headed to heaven, I'm good to go. But if we're in the same place we were spiritually last week, as we were last week, as we were last month, if you're in the same place you were a year ago, then danger, danger, danger. We should be able to see growth, hunger, wanting to spend time with the Lord. Unless you are in a very serious fast today, you probably either have eaten or will eat today. But you won't try to go all week on this one meal today. Boy, I can't wait till Sunday, I can eat again. But that's exactly the statement a lot of believers say spiritually. Oh, I can't wait till Sunday, I can eat again. And then we try to go all week long on the spiritual meal of a Sunday morning. Danger. The believer is going to be hungry. You're hungry physically each day. There should be a spiritual hunger. Are you in the Word on any kind of consistent basis? Do you have a devotional life? Do you communicate with God? We look forward to the baby to be able to communicate, and the baby wants to talk and grow in speaking. Are you growing in speaking to God and letting Him speak to you? So here this is the loving admonition Paul meant it, but it's from God's heart saying, come on, don't stay little, get to growing. And let's ask ourselves, well, am I any further along than I was last week, a month ago in this same place? Have I spent any time with Him? Have I spent any time? Am I hungry to do that? Kathy can tell you, after second service, I'm hungry to get home. Kathy knows, right, we get home. What do you want for lunch? I'm ready to go. Healthy body. You can tell. Like to eat. Spiritually should be the same for all of us. That's the issue for us. So much of the church today accommodates carnality. So be careful. Because so much of the church today just coast, settles, I'm saved, I'm good, good to go. And then meanwhile, self is totally running the show. Since so many in that place, what has happened so often in the church is then the church realizes, well, we're going to have to accommodate that, appeal to that. If we're going to get people to come, if they want a feel-good message, they don't be challenged, they kind of like right where they're at, then we're going to have to speak right to that. That's what we got to offer. And so what you see actually is appeals to the fleshly appetites. So there's all the bang and the pop and the whiz and the boy and everything else going on. Because, oh, see, children like excitement, huh? Children like, oh, lights. And well, when we're young in the Lord, that can be a problem too. And so be careful, because out comes the big fog machines and the lights and the strobes. The pastor dances around. If the pastor moves around, great. If the pastor's really fired up, he's dancing around. But too often people say, whoa, was the pastor anointed today? Why? He yelled three times and danced around twice. He was really anointed. Well, that could be he's into it, and that's okay, but be careful. Because too often it's that attempt that it's let's get the emotions going. Do you want to know anointing of a message? When it pierces your heart. When it causes me to really think about God and where I'm at with Him. When I either know Him better, grow in Him, are encouraged by Him, comforted by Him, challenged by Him, exhorted by Him, convicted by Him. That's when anointing's happening. Not by volume and glitz and glamour. Be careful what draws you. The carnal Christian is, oh, something new. Over they go. Oh, something over there. Over to that one. But are they being fed? Analyze your fellowship by that. Am I being fed? Am I growing? Am I further along than I was this time last year? It's the saving power of the gospel that Paul says we all need. And that ushered in a relationship with God by which we're now to grow. That we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote that on Philippians. He goes, I want to know God. I want to know Him more and more. I want to know Him in everything. Everything's fair game, but I want to know. I want to grow. See, that's healthiness. That's what should mark our life. What is the mark of a healthy believer, a mature believer? There will be hunger for the Word. You'll see them wanting to dig deeper, even on their own. There'll be a devotional life going on. And there'll be hunger for all the Word, not just that pet portion that feels good. There'll be hunger for all of God's Word if we're seeking to grow. Of course, cotton candy could be nice, but you can't live on it all the time. I know, I tried, no. No, you got to have vegetables, you got to have some fruit once in a while, you got something. Point is, a rounded diet, the whole Word of God. As I mentioned, there'll be prayer if there's healthiness. There'll be discernment. You'll be able to discern what's of God, what isn't. There'll be love. Later on, Paul's going to say to them what? He goes, you guys got a lot of the gifts going on, but let me tell you about love. Another mark of maturity. See, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not marks of maturity. We're going to see they had the gifts going on like crazy. But it wasn't the gifts, because you're going to take them to task on it. How they were operating in them in ways they shouldn't have been. No, it's not the gifts of the Spirit, it's fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Am I growing and bearing fruit of the Spirit? The love, joy, peace, those are the fruits. Those are indications of a healthy believer. So let the Lord speak to us about our lives and what we're about and who's in the driver's seat. And are we growing? Are we maturing in the Lord? You remember, Corinth was a very sensual, pagan culture, much like ours. And Paul is saying that it's important. It was important that they not let the culture or that previous way of thinking continue to dominate them, continue to guide them. Don't let the culture, don't let that old way of relating and being be in charge anymore. And what was true for them is true for us now. That's the loving admonition and encouragement. He tells them, you've got so much better available. You've got the Word of God. You've got the Holy Spirit. What a combo. Pay attention to that, to those. Because what's true for them is true for us. We have the same available to us. So, the call to be found living with the Spirit in control, not the self any longer, not the pride, not the flesh. We're to reckon that dead and let the Spirit be in charge. We're to live as those set apart to this whole wonderful way of thinking and living. I'm going to invite the worship team up as we now respond to the Lord in worship and praise. If you're in need of prayer, there are prayer partners in the back of the building. They'd love to pray with you. First things first, and Paul said it as such, the gospel. You can't grow until you're born. You got to be a baby first. Start there. If you've never received Christ as Savior, go to a prayer partner and let them know, I need forgiveness. I need salvation. I want to know God. I want to know why I'm here. Let them lead you in that prayer. If you've done that, then for all of us, let's be found healthy. Let's be found hungry and growing and seeking and discovering all God has for us. Let's pray. Father, I feel like there's so much here. Take it all now and distill it down, Lord, and speak to each of our hearts as what we need to know and hear from this. Thank you for your love behind it all. Again, that there is the call and the privilege that we can know you. We can grow in you. You didn't save us to put us on the shelf, but we can now grow into all that you do indeed have for us. We're to grow up in you, and we get to do that, to know you. Thank you for that. And Lord, if we are settling, if we're coasting, Lord, search our hearts. If we're stuck, if we're carnal in any way, Lord, Help us. Help us turn from it. Repent of it. Have all in all, Lord. Be all in all in us. By your Holy Spirit, stir up that hunger again, Lord. And we find all of us just truly growing in you. And as we do, Lord, may I give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.